Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode.
Jimmy? You coming out of the bathroom?
This thing doesn't fit right.
Maybe because you're wearing a sari. You were supposed to ask for a kurta, what Indian men wear.
No, because I asked for 2 kurtas and 2 saris, and they gave me 3 saris.
Cause Hazel's the lady and Drake is the man. That's all I got. And actually, this episode is not at all about that song, but it has the same title. Hi, everybody. Narbos and Broomheads. We are covering the last episode of season 3 of Degrassi, The Next Generation, called The Power of Love. But it is a different power of love than I just serenaded you with, so my apologies.
It's the power of love. Anyways,
hi everybody. I'm Alan. I'm in Toronto. Things are great over here.
Power of love.
You're just too darn loud. Next. Who have we got here with me? Let's go out to Understand Newfoundland.
Whoa, Understand Newfoundland. That's right. You have Ted here. Hey, everybody. Does everybody know, like, that we like prickle up? I don't know if, like, just we when somebody says the name wrong of Newfoundland.
Yes, I got it. Yes, since I've known you, yes, I've known that.
Do I know it at the end of this sentence that I'm telling you that Newfoundlanders feel weird when somebody says the name wrong?
Every time I say period. It, and I, under your breath, you're like, fuck you.
Why am I on this podcast?
When I met you, I'm going to fucking kill you. Yeah, so.
I'm going to kill everybody.
You heard me first,
I'm not
everyone.
I'm
going to
kill anybody. We're gonna kill some scenes, I guess. Is that what you say in the biz? You don't say that in the biz. This is yeah, we good. Okay, check. I'm Ted. Hello. Where are we going now? And I'm going to be on this podcast today. The Power Love. Huey Lewis in the news. We had a off mic discussion on the. Well, we had a text discussion about this song, and I believe this was the song played in Back to the Future when Marty McFly was tailgating behind a Jeep.
Yes.
In Back to the Future 1. Yes.
There were a couple of moments when it was played. He was tailgating. Then it's played very quickly when he kisses his girlfriend goodbye later on. They just play like that's the power of love.
It's so good.
And Marty's.
Don't take fame. Don't need no credit card to ride this train.
Marty.
Hi.
Hi,
Courtney. Sorry.
That's all right. We're recording. Marty's band, the Pinheads, also plays this song in an audition, and they are just too darn loud. And the judge who stops them and says they are just too darn loud is Huey Lewis. So
yes,
there you go.
Fantastic.
But Courtney's back. Hi, Courtney.
Perfect movie.
Hello. I am back to the future.
This is a Back to the Future podcast.
Yeah. I can go on forever about Back to the Future. It's my favorite movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Guaranteed. It's your favorite movie of all time, really?
Fucking greatest movie, yeah.
It's a really so good movie.
I'd say it's damn near a perfect movie.
If there's actually someone out there who has not seen Back to the Future, stop listening to this podcast.
Yes.
Watch Back to the Future.
I'm going to bet there are a few people.
Hi, Courtney. Who are you?
Yeah, what's up?
Oh, hi. What's up? Yo, I'm Courtney. My favorite movie is not Back to the Future.
What is it? Back to the Mannequin. Future 2?
No.
Mannequin. All right.
It's Mannequin.
Interesting.
Nothing's going to stop us. Nothing's going to stop us. Ooh, all that I want is to fuck a mannequin.
And if the world... Yes.
Yeah, all right.
So,
yeah.
Arlo, you're also there.
Yeah, I am. Hey, it's Arlo coming to you from the Veg in Saskatchewan. And I saw Back to the Future in the theater when it first came out. It's one of the first movies I remember going to.
Fuck, that's heavy.
Well done.
I saw the first movies that I ever remember going to were E.T., Back to the Future, The Smurfs and the Silver Flute, and Return of the Jedi.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. So I don't know where Back to the Future was in that. Just like, I was very small. I was a very small child. So I'm not sure exactly if that was the first one or the second one or anything like that. I can't remember that much, but I do remember seeing it in the theater, which is pretty awesome and makes me pretty old. And my favorite movie is The Goonies.
Oh, that's top 10.
You know what? My first movie was in the theater. It was actually Goonies. I was going to say like Lethal Weapon. But I couldn't think of it fast enough. Mine was Goonies as well.
Oh, I'm jealous movie. You got to see it in the theater.
Yes.
I have seen Goonies in like an IMAX like showing old movies situation.
Ooh.
Kind of thing. So I have seen it in the theater, but I didn't see it on its original run.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me sad.
Well, welcome everybody to the Movies We've Seen podcast.
Movies We've Seen.
You started it.
Movies We've Seen.
Have you seen this movie? Seen. I have. It's a podcast. All right.
Call it's an original idea.
No one
has thought of this.
No one has thought of this. No one has thought of this.
Not copying anyone. Not copying anyone. All right.
The Power of Love.
Everyone
was a massive,
singing in the higher register.
For some reason. For Huey Lewis in the news. Yes. It was not only on the Back to the Future soundtrack, but it was from the album Sports. Is that right?
I believe so. I mean,
Sports was just a monster of an album.
This is not named after The Power of Love by Jennifer Rush, which is also a big 80s song that was released in 1984. And it's been covered by Air Supply, Laura Branigan, and Celine Dion. But no, it is not.
Together?
No. Together at last, you mean? Yeah, together at last. But yes, so Power of Love by Huey Lewis and the News from the Back to the Future soundtrack. Written for the soundtrack, though, they were just like, I don't know, I'm just going to write a really good song. They did write another song called Back in Time, which was playing both on the radio when Marty is woken up. He comes back from the future, spoiler alert. And is in bed, and the clock radio turns on, and Back in Time is playing, and it also plays during the end credits.
Yeah,
is that the scene where he almost makes out with his mom?
That is not where they play Back in Time by Huey Lewis. Not in 1955. And the album that it was featured on is actually 4!
Yes.
Which
F-O-R-E.
Which also includes the songs Jacob's Ladder and Stuck With You and Doing It All For My Baby and Hip to Be Square.
Oh,
man. That made up my childhood.
Oh. Yeah. Sports was the one before it with Heart of Rock and Roll, which is a shit song. Heart and Soul. I Want a New Duck. Just kidding. That's a Weird Al song.
Yeah, right.
I want a new drug, walking on a thin line, and if this is it. So Huey Lewis, probably one of the top five bands in the world at the time, I would guess.
Yeah, huge in the 80s.
Yeah. And of course, The Power of Love off of the Back to the Future soundtrack, if you haven't guessed by our banter. And we should do an episode where we talk about Back to the Future exclusively.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Actually,
we are doing that right now.
In the spirit of the of the last few episodes where they copied Ferris Bueller and what was the other one? Breakfast Club. This episode is actually written off of Back to the Future. Remember the scene where they go to the dance with the cultural appropriation? That's
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Everyone loved it except the people actually that their culture was being misappropriated. So,
yeah. So
it's all fun for everybody except for them.
I am happy that this song actually seems to have something to do with the narrative a little bit. It's about not needing money and fame to feel ride the power of love. So yeah, to ride this train. Yeah. So I feel like that's kind of like a lesson that Jimmy's learning, et cetera, throughout the episode. So there we go.
I'm glad the episode about not needing money and fame features Drake. That's cool.
Whatever happened to that guy?
Yeah.
I think he had a guest appearance on, or I don't know.
All right, I'll edit that.
Sorry. I couldn't come up with it.
Little Mosque on the Prairie.
Yeah, there you go.
Couldn't make it to the punchline.
Road to Avonlea.
Yeah, didn't stick the landing. All right. This aired in Canada on April 5th, 2004, in the U.S. on August 6th, 2004, the 22nd and final episode of Season 3, written by A.A. Ron Martin, and James Hurst did the teleplay. Stephen Scaini directed it. And Arlo, you had mentioned in a previous episode that this was originally going to be a two-parter and not this plot?
Yes. I had mentioned that in a previous episode. And yes, that is the case. Or, as far as I know, apparently the Season 3 DVD box set lists a different description for the episode, as does the official Degrassi YouTube channel. And that description for the original two-parter. So basically, this is the episode was originally a two-part episode titled Rock the Casbah.
Oh.
And it was later changed to The Power of Love, but it remained a two-part episode even after the title change. But then it was changed again to a one-part episode to make room for I Want Candy. And the original description of the two-parter Rock the Casbah episode is, quote, "The year-end semi-formal is only hours away, and Marco has transformed the gym into an idealized Bombay. It promises to be an amazing event, except Marco's theme is causing tension between him and Ellie. Ellie finds the whole idea racist, cultural appropriation in the name of superficial fun, so she's boycotting it. As are Sean, Jay, and Alex, who have other plans for that evening. When things start to fall apart, Marco blames Ellie and her friends. Despite the setbacks, everyone has a blast, except for Marco and Ellie, the rift in their friendship seemingly insurmountable."
I like this episode better. I mean, I don't like how that episode... Like, not only does that episode sound sucky, but it was fucking two parts. Get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, we are probably going to talk about cultural appropriation a little bit throughout the episode, so it's interesting to know that there was supposed to be a plot point that touched on that.
Well, I like
was the main plot point.
I like that because yes, we'll definitely be talking about it. And of course, I like my first thought was in 2004, you probably thought that you were just honoring the culture. Like they probably thought they were actually doing a progressive thing and looking back that they weren't. Now knowing that they were actually self-aware and then decided to ignore it.
Decided not
interesting.
To bother mentioning it. Yeah,
cool.
It also does explain a little bit, like later on, jumping ahead just a little bit, like we'll notice that at the dance, Ellie and Sean are not dressed up.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas pretty much everybody else seems to be. So that seems to be sort of a remnant of this original plot point. So.
All right. Well, here we go. Power of Love. Oh, and also without spoiling it, we get a big cameo in this one too. So
great.
Buckle your early 90s seatbelts, everybody.
Yeah.
Kids are cleaning out lockers, and Snake tells them that he'll be inspecting the lockers soon, and then it's summer vacation. What happens if they fail inspection? Like, it's the end of the year. I'd be like, I'm leaving. Like, you can't make them stay.
Bye.
Drake and Hazel are in the hall, and Drake is counting down until he goes to L.A. for summer basketball camp, which...
spoiler, as you do.
Spoiler alert, he's only going to need that camp for about 6 more months. He says it was cool when it was booked.
What does that mean? Go ahead. Keep going. I'm just going to sit here and think about what that means.
He becomes a rapper.
good.
He says it was cool when it was booked the previous December, but that was before he found a necklace on the ground, put it on Hazel, and they started dating.
Dude, it's still cool. It's supposed to be like the best basketball camp in the fucking US or something like that. It's like in LA. Like, dude, I'm pretty sure you could not see your girlfriend for like a month.
In high school, that's forever.
I know, it's true.
Paige is at her locker throwing out last year's mascara and lip gloss. She is with Spinner. Drake says that the coming evening is going to be a dream. He pulls out an ad for a limo company and says the limo will get them to the restaurant and the meal is on him. Paige asks Hazel if she wants to switch boyfriends, and they walk off. And Spinner says, well, aren't you the hero to Drake? And Drake says, that's the plan. Be the best! So. And again, probably the last time we're going to hear that version of the song. I believe, again, they remix it for the next season.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Be the best! That's the next season, so. Be the best. All right, so Sean comes into media immersion to see Snack. We're still going with that.
Snack's class.
Hot snack.
He says that he got Snake's note. Snake shows him his mark, and lo and behold, it's a 49. Most Sean, teachers,
that's not a sexy number at all.
He's like, you're 20 off, buddy. He says he started the year well, but his grade kept dropping. And he's like, since you're on student welfare, and Sean interrupts and says, I was on it until they found out I failed the course. Which, now, you're going to find out what happens right away, but Snake could just be like, fuck it, here's 50. Like,
whatever.
Snake tells Sean to create a parts database for the auto shop by the end of the day, and he says if you do a good job, you won't fail, so Sean gets started.
Okay. What? Parts data? Like, that sounds like something you can make in a day.
Well, does Sean have any other things to do at school today?
Well, I think the kids are just
ran away.
Yeah. And... yeah.
You don't gotta go home and feed the dog. Or give it water anymore, so, I don't know.
Yeah. My dog's in Alberta, so.
I mean, brother.
Yeah. All right, well, here comes the B-plot, everybody.
Go get ready.
I hate it. Joey is scrambling around his house to find some documents. Caitlin knocks on the door. He hands her a briefcase that I guess she just left at his place, and he says... she's like, we're like two peas in a pod. And he's like, you should move in. She's like, duh? And he's like, I'm serious. And he says, you're part of the kids' lives for, the last 4 months? And he'd love it if she was there. And she says, they'll have to talk about it at dinner. And she's like, did you book at the restaurant? Which restaurant? The one restaurant.
The restaurant.
Yeah.
The restaurant.
Yeah. So they'll chat about it at dinner. At Drake's place, he comes out of the washroom and he says that his outfit does not fit him. And Paige points out that that's because he's wearing a sari, which is for women. And they're all dressed up for what I call the cultural appropriation dance. So, yes.
I can't believe that any high school students would be like, yes, we're really into this. We're all going to fucking rent these costumes to go to our semi-formal.
Yeah.
We're going to like buy or rent these fucking costumes.
Things that are like threaded throughout culture, like in Indian culture and many different types of culture, and just going, I'm just going to rent it and pretend. And there's a guy, spoiler alert, later on at the dance, literally doing the chicken dance with his elbows like almost touching in the back. And he's like, he's doing kind of the Red Rooster chicken dance thing. And it's like, anybody who actually, who was from that culture would be like, what the fuck is going on here? What are these people doing? This is nuts.
I would just be like, you know, I think I'm just going to wear like this dress that I already have here. Like, I'm not going to go buy a sari.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Also, like, so when you're renting it, they're like, oh, what is this for? Like, is it a, you know, cultural thing? Is it a wedding? It's for my school dance. Like,
it's a high school
there's a
dance.
Bollywood theme.
Have you heard of it?
Yeah. No.
There's a Bollywood theme, and you go like, what the? No, that's not a thing.
Also, when
this is made up,
Drake discovers that he has a woman's sari, he could just be like, well, I'm just going to wear a suit then.
Yes. No, he is.
No,
I must wear this. I have no options.
I must wear this.
That's the decision I've made. Also, let's mention that throughout all this, and I mean, I know it's Jimmy's, Drake's place, but.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but like no adults in sight, right? Like none.
No.
So they go outside to wait for the limo, and Hazel wonders if they're going to get champagne, and Drake says he hopes so. And then we hear. And here comes Billy Ray Cyrus. Pulling up in the limo.
That was supposed to be Achy Breaky Heart, what you just did?
The start of it.
No wonder I was doing line dancing here in my kitchen.
He gets out and he's like, let's go to school, the Achy Breaky School. So he's wearing a leather jacket with tassels on it.
This episode is 2004.
Yeah.
Hannah Montana doesn't start till 2006. So he is literally still the Achy Breaky guy at this point.
Yes, he has no other
Come
role.
Come on out kicking like Billy Ray Cyrus. when did this actually, because that came out in what, 1991?
90.
Achy Breaky Heart?
Yeah.
Let me see. Don't play that song, that Achy Breaky song. That's the Weird Al one. Released in 1992.
Oh, 92. Some Gave All from that album. Uh-huh. And with this, like, anybody who wasn't there does not realize how big this song was. This song was everywhere, all the time, everywhere.
Non-stop. 100%.
Non-stop. Like, why I like even the whole line dancing thing was, I assume line dancing was a thing before this came out, but it really hit home when
nope.
this came out.
Billy Ray Cyrus invented line dancing. Yeah,
I love it. Yeah,
as far as I'm concerned, Billy Ray Cyrus, inventor of country music and founder of Texas
and the mullet.
Yeah,
and founder of Texas.
It was a huge song. The Achy Breaky Heart hit number 4 in the U.S. and in Canada. And this is on, like, the pop charts. So, yeah.
Mm. Right, yeah. Destroyed the country charts.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was afforded the opportunity to introduce my children to Achy Breaky Heart because Billy Ray Cyrus had, like, a guest role or whatever in Old Town Road.
Mm. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Yes.
With Lil Nas X.
Man, he's like a fucking phoenix, you know? He just keeps rising from those ashes.
Yeah, so Billy Ray Cyrus ended up, so his seed turned into Miley Cyrus, who ended up
gross.
Being... Well, it's true.
Jesus.
His Achy Breaky nut shot turned into one of the most famous... one of the most famous... artists in the last 15 years, both for Hannah Montana and for her music career. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Anyways, Billy Ray is wearing a leather jacket with tassels and a tuxedo shirt that he probably borrowed from Joey Jeremiah. Drake says there must have been a mistake, and Billy Ray says, "Ain't no mistake, hound dog, let's giddy up." They open the back of the limo. There's garbage everywhere. The TV's broken. I wrote, "And I'm sure there were cum stains." Like, it's just so gross back there.
I feel like even the most basic, low-budget limo driver would, like, pick up the garbage.
Yeah. In the limo. Yeah.
And also, to do a podcast crossover, there is an empty bag of Darth Maul's, I believe.
Oh, yes.
In the limo.
Darth Maul's, but we're their Anakin's. me and Jamie, when the Force Awakens came out, they did a crossover promotion with Dorito or with Frito-Lay. So they had Darth Maul on the cover of Doritos chips. So from that point on, we called them Darth Mauls. So,
and there's an empty bag
on
the floor.
So we get over to Caitlin, who is at work, and she is making, she's designing his or her towels on her computer.
Don't say his and hers. They say Caitlin and Joey.
Yeah. Tomas walks in and notices, and she says she's going to say yes to Joey. And he's like, "Cool. Your documentary on HIV/AIDS was approved. So it was submitted a year ago." And he's like, "You need to leave for Geneva, Switzerland tonight and be gone for 9 months.
Tonight.
Yeah.
He's like, "Let me guess. I'm on this show tonight." So it's tonight, right?
Yep.
Every flight is tonight. Tracker was tonight. There tonight. Everything is tonight. Like, what kind of world do you live in? I've never had a flight where it's like, yeah, you have to go that night.
Yep.
I mean, oh,
and then nuts. She's going to go to Africa, Southeast Asia, India, and the Caribbean, and it will be a hectic 9 months. She says she can't because Joey asked her to move in. So she turns it down.
Awful.
Oh,
it's so toxic. It's so
don't worry.
And neither one of them recognizes it.
It gets better and not infuriating at all. Don't worry.
I'm sure it'll all work out.
I'm sure.
Yeah. It's an obvious throwback to when she was going to turn down Carlton.
And she's learned nothing in the last 10 years.
Yeah. What an idiot.
Yeah. Joey's out getting his knob waxed by Tessa and right now. Yeah, it's great. Snake checks on Sean's work at school and says the database is working. He's glad with it. He pushes the grade up to a 53. So it's just like an arbitrary number. Like, right?
Yeah. Right?
It's like, that's worth 4%. So
not even just like, it couldn't have like 5%. You know?
Yeah, no, it's four.
Really? Four? Yeah. You chose four.
No. Says not the best mark, but it's a pass. And I thought, like, okay, so Sean's passed, so I guess he passes and I guess he still gets his student welfare, but I thought he needed to have good grades.
Is that even a thing? Like, student welfare?
We asked this in the last episode.
I'm asking it again.
You can go back and hear our whole conversation. I said, I played the role of Courtney and I was like, that's not a thing. And then Arlo was like, it was a thing and I lived it.
Well, I don't know if it was student welfare. I know that there was some kind of welfare that was being passed around. So
yeah, someone that she was dating had it in Winnipeg. So
it was a man who told you.
I feel like
student welfare, but
he was
actually
in
30 years old.
I just think he was in Winnipeg, Arlo. It's not welfare. He was selling drugs. Like, that's what happened.
Yeah, sorry. I should have. I just meant that. Like, was it? Is it also tied to grades? Like, if you do shitty, we make you live on the street.
Yeah. I don't recall this guy's grades being tied to it. I know that he had to like go see his social worker every single week. Like,
you
it
mean,
was more tied to like making sure that they didn't die.
You
like,
say social worker, I say distributor.
You say social worker, I say guma, like in The Sopranos.
So Sean thanks him. Snake says he needs to go chaperone the dance and asks Sean if he's going to go. Sean says it isn't his scene. Snake says he knows that Sean has been dealt some bad hands, but life can be amazing if you let it. It's like, you just want him to go to the dance that badly? Like, who gives a fuck?
And Snake is full of shit. let's like look at his life. And has it been amazing?
Yeah, no. he's like Sean, you fucked like 3 girls this year. Let me tell you about what happened after grade 12 for old Snake.
Yeah.
Like
it's amazing.
my testicles almost exploded.
And with amazing killed me.
I had to yeah. fucking lifeguard at a pool and I didn't get any pussy. Look at you, Sean. You're just swimming in it. It's amazing.
Yeah. Get that one.
Yeah, so but instead what really happens is Snake lays it on really thick, right? Like we get the whole guilt tripping as he's like, I haven't given up on you, Sean. I'll always be there for you. I would die for you, Sean.
I love you, Sean.
You're the son I never had, Sean. Oh, except Jack, that guy too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That loaf.
So Sean's like, I steal your computer. So there we go.
I actually audibly gasped when this happened. This was a Breaking Bad type swerve for me.
Uh-huh.
Really, when I saw this a few days ago, I was watching it and I went, wow. I didn't expect that. And then
Snake is like, I spoke too soon. I have given up on you.
die.
Yeah. Snake was like, I was in chemo and I lost it. And Sean's like, I stole it. So Snake's like, fucking leave. So
Sean, what do you say to that? What do you say? You can't say that's okay.
Yeah.
It's not okay.
Yeah.
So, no.
Yeah.
You can't punch the kid out. Like I guess he reacted the best possible way that you can, which is just like, you need to get away from me right now.
Yeah. So
you push him into a wall or something.
So we've joked that there is only one restaurant in town, but the proof of this is that Paige and Spinner, a couple of episodes ago, were skipping school. They went to a restaurant and they dined and dashed. They're now in this limo. Clearly, they know the direction they're headed. They get to the restaurant. Maybe Jimmy even told them the restaurant before they go to it.
Why wouldn't you say, Jimmy, what restaurant are we going to?
Well, how about this? That's
the first question I ask. Where are we going to eat?
Look, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but usually I know the restaurant that I'm at before I walk inside it. Like when I'm outside, I can tell because it's literally not until they walk into the restaurant that they are hiding their faces and mortified because they're like, yeah, we dined and dashed here a while
Wait
back.
Wait a minute. Is this the same restaurant that what?
Yeah.
Maybe they blinked really long when they were walking into the restaurant and they just went like blink and then we're all of a sudden at the hostess stand, you know?
Yeah.
No, maybe.
So
could be a possibility.
So when we were last in this restaurant, we had Radich there with Miss Hatzilakis, who they did not acknowledge as being Miss Hatzilakis, but that's who it was. As these kids now get seated, they walk past Joey and Caitlin, who are also at the restaurant. So again, only restaurant in the city.
The only one.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
And again, then we get a quick cameo. Marco's dad pops his head in the door. He's like, you getting some puss tonight? Hey,
hey
dance night.
Boy. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So Joey asks if Caitlin will move in, and she says yes. She says it's been a roller coaster of the day, and nonchalantly is like, yeah, I got this project to go around the world, but I turned it down because I'm moving in. And Joey's like, you need to do this. And he says,
the two things negate each other. I can't do both.
He's like, it's an opportunity of the lifetime. I'm not going anywhere. And she gets pissy and leaves.
Oh. Oh, can we talk about this?
Please.
Seriously.
Let me just sit back. Let me grab my popcorn and go.
This right here is like a spillover from high school. Like these are adults acting like they would in high school going, and it's not even words. It's just roofing. It's so terrible. It's so immature. I cannot believe it. It's terrible, terrible, terrible times 25. Ugh.
Well, just the fact that the objective isn't to discuss this with your partner and try to come to a consensus and a conclusion of what you should do. It's just like all of these like assumptions and and maybe it's because I was like long distance with my husband for a little bit over a year. But to me, like 9 months for your dream job opportunity with somebody that you actually are picturing spending your life with, it feels like it's nothing. Like,
nope. Yes, everything to them.
In the grand scheme of your lives or whatever. Like, yeah, it's hard to be away from your partner for 9 months or whatever. But it's not like it's 5 years. It's 9 months, man. Like, come on.
It's bad.
Yes.
And yeah, and then she just leaves. Doesn't talk about it. You know, and like, he hasn't done a bad thing, by the way, right? Like, he's done the right thing. You know, he hasn't he's not even mopey about it. He's like, you have to go do this. Like, there's nothing about it at all. And she gets mad and leaves and doesn't even try to talk about it. Fuck this.
He's like, I have learned my lesson from the last time we were in this situation. And I advise that you go.
Campbell's like, I haven't. Shut up. Yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's terrible.
I hate their whole relationship.
Joey is the adult in this situation. I noted that. Joey is the adult. Ugh. That's in my notes.
His wife is dead. Like, I think he's just like, it's okay. We can do long distance for a few months. Like,
no, if I go away, I'm dead.
It's okay. Like,
I don't have object permanence yet. So if I leave, I am dead. Like, well, Caitlin, you actually learn that when you're a really little baby. Don't call me a baby.
So now we're at the dance and they're playing Bollywood music. So again, not only are these kids all dressed up, but now they're playing the music. And I mean, it's not bad music, but if you're 15, you're like, can you like, what were they listening to in 2004? I don't know what was popular. Can you play? I wasn't listening to anything cool. Anyone? Lady Gaga? Like, was Papa that Roach. 2004? Yeah. Papa Roach. Cut my life in two pieces. Some Nickelback.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Looking it up.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So,
Usher.
Ah, yes. Huh?
Usher.
Yeah, that fucking yeah song?
Yeah.
I hated that song.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That is a song right there.
Anything else?
Avril Lavigne, My Happy Ending.
All right.
Lean Back.
Yeah.
She had one called My Happy Ending.
Don't dance, okay. Just pull up your pants and do the rock away. Now lean back. Lean back.
I was listening to like,
that was for a happy ending. Back.
Come on.
I was listening to like Franz Ferdinand at the time, so you know. I don't know. Anyways.
Did you like them before they were cool?
I'm so cool. I don't listen.
Oh, you know them before they were cool.
They were always cool, actually. You just didn't know it. So we see Manny, Emma, JT, Chris is there, Snake is there, JT's like, there's no ice in the drink, Snake. Do your fucking job. So he leaves to go to the store.
Snake is in a turban.
Yeah. Oh, yes. He is dressed like when Justin Trudeau did blackface.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Except that he is not in blackface. Justin Trudeau, our prime minister, was. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Multiple times.
This is.
I remember. So.
Yeah.
For our American listeners, even though this story ended up blowing up worldwide, Justin Trudeau became an MP with the Liberal Party. He became the leader of the Liberal Party. He became Prime Minister of Canada in 2015. It was not until his first bid for re-election in 2019 that it surfaced that when he was younger, he went to a party in blackface. Unbelievable that it took that long for it to come out. And then we found out that Justin Trudeau loves blackface because so many parties and so many blackface photos. So
maybe he was thrifty and liked to recycle his Halloween costumes.
He was just very tan.
He's just like, what reason can I find to be in blackface? I need it. So, yeah. And was reelected, by the way, and then reelected again about a month ago. But of course, when...
He also apologized.
Oh, well, yeah, that did it.
Many times.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when the other option is Aaron O'Toole and Andrew Scheer, it's like... I mean, Andrew Scheer had to, like, resign as the leader of the Conservatives. And I'd be like, yes, you were not good enough to beat blackface. Like... You should resign.
Yeah.
So
the bar is very low and they still keep knocking it over.
Yep. So
thank goodness.
Sean and Ellie show up, as Arlo noted. They are in their normal clothes, and Snake walks by. Sean wants to speak with him and Snake blows him off. And again, what's he going to do? Like,
no,
fuck you, Sean. You're an
evil child. Yeah.
So we're back at dinner. Hazel says the meal was great. They are given the bill, and Drake points out that they were charged for 3 extra meals. So Andrew, the waiter, is like, those are for the 3 meals that I was, you know, shorted on for previously.
Sucks to be you, kid.
Yeah. And don't forget the tip. And he walks away. So Drake asks Spinner for $40. And I'm like, why would you ask Spinner? Like...
Yeah.
Paige does not have money either. Hazel gives him the money. They walk out of the restaurant and Billy Ray Cyrus is getting arrested. He's like, I paid those tickets, those achy breaky tickets. So the kids say they'll walk, but Billy Ray tells them that the police will drive them to the dance.
Can someone please explain this scene to me? Because I do not understand it. So, okay, so Billy Ray Cyrus is getting arrested because he did for many, many unpaid tickets. The cops are taking him away, and he talks to them like they're his stooges. Like, you gotta take these here kids to the prom. Like, why? Like, why?
Okay, Mr.
So, like,
Cyrus.
The OPP is like, yes, sir, okay. I don't know what. I don't understand this.
Yep.
But really, that's the core of it, isn't it? It's like, and he goes, hey, hold on there, buddy. Like, you can't say that to a cop.
Yeah, like, he's also like, hold on for putting me in the car. I'm going to talk to these kids. It's like, also, like, parking tickets? You're getting arrested for parking tickets?
Also, why is he even here?
It happens, man.
What do you mean? Like, Billy Ray or the limo driver?
Just Billy Ray in general.
Because 2 years before his kid was born, or got famous, he needed money.
Maybe, so random.
Maybe he loved Degrassi. I mean, Kevin Smith's going to show up next season. That's even worse.
It's, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you know, it's conceivable that maybe his kid loved Degrassi, and that's how he got into it, right? Like, she would have been around that age.
Yeah.
Well, also, like, this was post Achy Breaky, like a decade post Achy Breaky and pre Hannah Montana. So at this point, somebody's just like, hey, Billy Ray, like, you want to make $3,000 doing this appearance? And he's like, yep.
You want to guest on an obscure Canadian sitcom?
He's like, yep.
You want a free eat from the craft table and that's it? No pay?
Yep.
I'm hungry.
So we have Snake outside trying to start his car and it will not start. Sean approaches and he's like, I have one talent and this happens to be it. Like, what a coincidence. Mm-hmm. So
I don't really know why he's skulking around the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Ellie's back inside, and Sean is just, like, skulking around the parking lot for some fucking reason.
He wants to steal something.
Mm-hmm. I guess so.
So, Snake reluctantly pops the hood so that Sean can have a look at it. So now, here we go. Caitlin is back at the office packing up and talking to Tomas. Joey shows up, and Tomas leaves. He asks Caitlin what's going on, and she's like, I'm leaving because you wanted me to, and I'm already done.
Fuck. Like, If you weren't Team Tessa before, you fucking better be now.
She is pissy because she says, I thought you wanted me to move in. And then I wrote, fuck Caitlin. Joey says it will only be for a few months. She says it's almost a year. And if you loved me, you wouldn't want me to go. And these are adults. She's an adult.
Joey's like, all this is news to me because we never discussed it because you had it happen in your own head. And now you're telling me.
I haven't grown emotionally since high school, Joey. Why don't you love me?
You fucked another girl and so did my dad. So maybe that's it.
At that restaurant that Mr. Radich and Ms. Hatzilakos and also Drake and the boys and the girls were at. So,
and
you know, it is
Marco's
the only
dad, and he made fun of the gay waiter.
Yeah, he said Fruity Boy. It was very terrible.
So,
oh, good Lord.
So Joey says he wants her to go because he does love her. And then I wrote, I want her to go.
See ya.
Joey's like, I promise. And then Caitlin says, you've made promises before that you didn't keep. I'm like, what? Like,
what the fuck are you referring to?
Fucking forever ago. Joey was married and his wife fucking died. Like, come
Jesus.
On. Yeah.
So great.
I mean, honestly, with the history that they had, they shouldn't even be together. Like, that's the number one thing, right? Don't.
No.
Just fuck off with this.
Yeah. It's so up and down all the time. It has been since high school. Like, they need to call it.
Yeah.
Call it. It's dead. DOA.
Spoiler alert. This continues in the next season and does not end well. So.
Oh, joy.
I do appreciate how they've made Caitlin look like the idiot.
Yeah.
And they've given Joey like the role of like the sensible, level-headed.
Always the woman flying off the handle.
I feel sorry for Caitlin's character. You know, like, I wish she'd had more growth since high school. Like, she was never, you know, especially as people know, as we've rewatched junior high and high, like, a lot of our, like, rosy memories of Caitlin kind of evaporated because she was not the best. But, like, I just wish that they hadn't, like, retconned her character so hard that she's just basically a moron.
Yeah, that's true.
And I feel bad for what her character could have been in the future.
If only she had a DeLorean. This is the part where she goes back in time. And
that's
she goes back in time and she has Joey and Caitlin get together, but, like, with a better ending. It's great. All ends at the dance. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
So so then Joey asks her if she wants to take the job and she's like yes, and he's like, well, then take it, and now we resolve the problem and they hug. Like, what a waste of time.
Yeah,
fuck's sake.
Sean tells Snake that his car has some serious problems. Snake says he'll call for a tow, but Sean says he wants to help. Snake's like, it's a little late for that. He was
There's
on
fluid all over my hands. Snake. Fluid everywhere.
Snake's like, oh, I know what you're talking
He's
about.
He's like, that was my whole summer.
Oil. Yeah, of course.
Whole summer. Fluid all over my hands. He's like, I was on death's door. Spike blows her life savings on a laptop and you stole it. Who does that? Sean no sells it and just says, your starter's gone. So is your head gasket. It's a week's worth of work. And Sean, the child, the troubled child, comes up with a solution. Like, not Snake being like, really, this should have been Snake saying, look, you're good with cars, right? Like, earlier, he helped Sean come up with a scenario to redeem his grade. You would think that they could have had Snake be like, okay, my car is fucked. I know you're good with cars. Here's the deal, right? I can see that you're sorry, but to redeem yourself, do this. But no, Snake is mad, and Sean, the child, comes up with a solution.
Good on you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they walk into the dance, and Snake asks if Sean is really up to it, and Sean says he is. So Snake says, I'll see you on Monday morning. Ellie asks Sean if things are better, and Sean says, they will be, and they hug. So.
tie that up with a neat little bow.
Yep. So back in the dance, after not seeing them for the entire year and after kissing Hazel at detention, we see Toby and Kendra together.
This is Kendra's last appearance.
Yes, right after this, she goes back to her home planet and dies.
Apparently, I read that the reason she left the show is that the showrunners wanted to have her and Toby become more, like, physical, like, more sexual, and her parents were not into that, and so she did not return.
It would have been better if she was like, I would rather not have a job than make out with him.
Aw, poor Jake Gillespie. Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if that's true or not. It's just something that I read, so that is hearsay. But hey, rumors. That's what we peddle in here at Narples and Purples.
Yeah, we just make things up when we can't figure it out, everybody. We either find it on Wikipedia or we invent it.
Also, just before we jump into this, before, well, it's going to happen in like 2 seconds, but we had Chekhov's curtain happening. But Or drape. Chekhov's drape, you can call it. Because Marco in an earlier scene was fluttering it out of the like floodlight that was going from the floor to the ceiling, like just I'm sure it was fairly hot light, and he just kind of like pushes it away. So yeah, we're about to jump into that. So
a little foreshadow mall.
Back in the dance. Oh, sorry, no. We have Marco. Sorry, welcoming everybody to the dance. He talks about crowning a king and queen, and then the fire starts. So. There's another fire in Degrassi. Here we go.
The golf curtain.
Yeah.
Cursed school.
The ghost of Luella's like, you goofball.
You're all goofballs. I didn't
even think about it being the ghost of Luella.
Yep. Snake tells.
That's a great conspiracy theory. That is a good one.
Snake tells everybody to leave calmly, but then the sprinkler starts. And yeah. So people walk outside, and just as they come outside, Drake and his crew show up in the cop car. So they ask Craig to tell them what happened. And Craig's like, I was busy getting my knob waxed again. I don't know.
I don't know.
He says that the curtains that Marco picked out were totally flammable. So we got fire trucks showing up. So fire at the school. Everybody's outside. We go over to Caitlin and Joey, who are outside of the station, Caitlin's workplace. A car pulls up to take her away. They kiss and she leaves. And I wrote, did she even go home to pack? Because I don't think she did. I believe
happens to her fucking apartment while she's gone?
Yeah, like, bye-bye. Joey is sad. He should be ecstatic. He should, as soon as she leaves, he picks up his phone and he goes through his contacts and we see Tessa C, and he's about to press it. So back at the school, we have music playing outside. Everybody is dancing and having a good time outside of the school, and I think this is supposed to be like, you know, season finale, this cool ending. Everyone's just having the dance outside of the school. I have two questions. Number one,
yes.
The neighborhood can't be happy with this situation. There's basically a block party happening outside the school. Number two, there's a fire in the school. There are fire trucks, and the students are all over the steps of the school. That would also not happen.
I believe that the song that's used at this time is called Rocket Science versus Advertising by Dead Letter Department.
Oh, nice. Courtney?
FYI.
I thought it was this song. I could be wrong.
Sir William Joel. Very nice.
So so this party's going. Marco wants to find a radio station with South Asian music, and Dylan's like, dude, fucking forget it. Like, and he's totally right. It's like, enough, you know. So there you go. Drake is looking all mopey. Hazel asks what the problem is. And he talks through, like, this is a crappy night, which, like, it isn't.
He's basically been humiliated. He wanted it to be a perfect night. He wanted to impress Hazel, and everything has gone wrong, right?
Yeah, but it kind of yes, it hasn't gone to plan, but it's like, you still had a good meal. You got to the dance. Like, I don't know. Like, it doesn't feel like a string of disasters, but I guess when you're that age, it is, right?
Yeah. Especially when you're trying to impress the girl that you like or whatever.
Yeah. It reminds me of the time that I wanted to make macaroni and hot dogs for someone I was dating in, like, late junior high, and I forgot to drain the macaroni. Like, oh, I can't do anything right. I wanted to make you a nice meal.
Oh, my God.
Lucky girl.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. She says she doesn't care about how the night has gone. Spinner and Paige approach them and say, "You're missing the good times on the stairs, blocking the firefighters from the school." Mm-hmm. Hazel says, "There's only one thing you have to do to make me happy." She kisses him. She says, "Come dance with me." She's like, "You don't need money. You don't need fame. Don't need a credit card to ride the Hazel train."
You
just need to ride me.
Yeah. And then they get play, "Come on, ride the train. Got to ride it." Yeah. And we finish with lots of people smiling at each other. Snake smiles at Sean. Sean, again, every time that Snake tells or makes Sean feel like things are okay, he hugs Ellie. So he hugs her again. They're both very happy. And the season ends.
Whoa, there it is.
So I guess my biggest question for everybody, as we were moving from season two, none of the seasons have been duds, but we've had a lot to complain about so far. And we kind of said, well, things are going to pick up as we move along and get into season three. For those of you kind of watching it for the first time or for the first time in a long time, what did you think?
I thought it was... Yeah, like it was good. It was probably more complicated. It was definitely more complicated. But then too, when things don't really match up sometimes with storylines and things. But I thought this was more maybe getting back to the roots of like, oh, this is a shocking thing, like with Manny's abortion and stuff like that. But not shocking. It's just like a natural thing that happens. I thought it was. I mean, I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. I thought it was, yeah.
I was good. Very happy with the lack of Emma this season.
Yes.
Yes.
A virtual high five leaning over from Torbay, Newfoundland to Regina, Saskatchewan to give you a nice high five on that because agreed.
I mean, you know, in comparison to season one, which was very, very Emma heavy. Emma heavy. And I can't quite say that season three was like all killer, no filler, but it was a lot closer to being all killer than I think the previous two seasons.
Yes.
I feel a little sorry for some of the characters that are just, it feels like they're being almost phased out. Like they're not, like Toby. Like Toby's not getting a lot of good material here. Like, does he need a bunch of material? I'm not sure, but it was definitely a little heavier on some characters than others this season. It'll be interesting to see next season if we see a resurgence of some of those other characters.
I'm sad to see certain characters go too, like even the Kendra and Terry. So both of them went back to their home planets.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That was disappointing because I like both of their characters.
Yeah.
And I would have definitely chosen like Towers. And
that word,
poor Towers.
Poor Towers. But no,
he's
just
not gone back to his home planet, is he?
I'll double check. Courtney, what do you think of this season while I look up Towers?
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, it was a little more interesting, but my like complaints are still more so about the lack of continuity through the season and just the sudden appearance of really big storylines that like just didn't have any lead up. That was still a problem for me this season. Like it just, seems to me it would have been easy to have kind of strung the storylines together a little bit better, and they didn't do that. So that was annoying. And also, like, we've talked about this a couple times, but just the blame put on women like Manny throughout the abortion storyline, and then on Ashley, and none of the blame put on Craig. That was something that really bugged me.
So I don't think that that's an unrealistic portrayal, though.
Yeah, like I don't think
annoying it as is. I think that that happens. I think that a lot of the time the blame disproportionately is placed on women.
No, I agree. It absolutely is.
But it's infuriating to watch.
But if you're going to have that storyline on TV, like, in theory, you should make it clear that it's not right that that happened. Right? Like,
but didn't Manny herself say, you know, he cheated on Ashley and it wasn't me who was cheating. She was just dating him.
Yeah,
as far as she knew.
She says it a few times, but, you know, again, yeah, could you have devoted one of your A or B plots to, you know, something where, again, like, Manny is, like, you actually devote some attention to Manny maybe taking shit and then somebody, maybe not the whole school, but somebody really learning their lesson? Because I feel like
you
get a little bit of it, but not a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I've got news about towers here.
Yep.
Uh-oh.
Oh. We hardly knew ye.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's gone.
That's it.
Yeah,
did he go all Twin Towers?
Well, Our House was his last appearance, and apparently the actor who played Towers was fired for being late to set too many times.
He literally had no lines. Like, that was his character. It was just to be there. Like, you had one job. Just be here.
To bring his body to the set.
Yeah. poor Towers.
Didn't even do that.
Yeah. Well, we're rolling along to season four, which it's a big one.
I'm excited for season four. There's a lot of shit that goes down.
If you like drama.
You say so.
I mean, without spoiling tons, we got guns. We got STDs. We got, we got people getting shit kicked when they're having mental health issues. That happens. Yeah. We have a rape trial, and we have Kevin Smith. Woohoo!
Terrible. No.
Yeah. Oh, we have.
Is there anybody making?
We have pedophile teachers. I mean, it's a consensual relationship, but he's a pedophile.
Okay, now we're back in familiar territory.
Yeah. So, lots gonna go on here.
It wouldn't be Degrassi without a pedophile teacher.
Yep.
Is it an elderly
sensuous
Mr. What was his name?
No, it is not Mr.
Colby.
Mr. Colby comes back and he's like,
hey, you kids. Actually, it's not that long ago.
Let's make a collage. So, yeah,
you're a special student.
Oh, we also get the debut of Shanae Grimes in the next season. So,
do we in season four already?
Yep.
All right.
So there you go. Yep.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Alrighty then. Okay.
Yeah.
I have heard from a lot of our fans, okay, maybe just two, that they're looking forward to season four because it's crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, this is the one. And I mean, we'll talk about it over the course of the season because I was like, this should be maybe as far as we go and then we decide what we're going to do, right? So, we'll see what happens as we go through the season. I have some ideas. Like, I don't think we can stop, but maybe we can. I got some ideas on how maybe we take a hiatus from Degrassi and review something else. But
I can't wait.
But I mean, maybe on Spotify, apparently when you post podcasts, you can put a poll up now. So I will, not for this episode, but maybe down the road, we'll poll everybody and see what they want us to do, even though we'll probably just ignore it and do what we want, but
it'd be nice to know all the same, though.
Yeppers. Yeah. So also, I should mention, keep your eyes peeled. This episode, we're recording stuff like way in advance now, so this episode is going to come out in mid-November, but sometime, I think in November, maybe we have to start talking about one more Christmas live podcast. like we did before.
Ooh. So, oh.
Yeah.
Well, ho, ho,
very
ho.
Nice.
So, yeah, keep your eyes peeled to future episodes of this, or follow all of our social medias if you want to hear me, Slip with Five Eyes, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and if you want to follow the podcast, at Narbos Podcast on Twitter, Courtney.
Okay, sorry. I was actually watching the movie Mannequin this whole episode.
Uh-huh. Well, that's your favorite movie.
Yes.
It's so good. Underrated. Anyways, if you want to talk about Mannequin, reach out to me on Instagram, Courtney.1293, and the podcast at Narbos and Broomheads Podcast. That's it from me.
Well, you can follow me, Arlo, on Instagram at ARLOESCOTT.
I'm Ted, SAY3 on the Instagram machine. Come on over. Come on over. Why don't you? Yeah, you don't need to. It's fine. If you do, if you want to, you can. It's fine.
Uh-huh. And
I won't be awkward about it.
No, not at all. That was not at all awkward. And
no, it was totally smooth.
neither is this, as I do this before to end the show.
Woo!
Oh, baby.
All right, everybody. We'll see you for season 4. Bye.
Bye.
Later. Baby.
Well, I just said I was going to get my love. I would never do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about you. Pictures out of my house.
Maybe it would.
I would walk with them and get naked just to get to my dreams. Everyone thinks I'm so good. I went crazy at the school. Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.